Time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro. Exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
All righty. We are awaiting the man, the myth, the legend that is Manny Navarro. He is ready to join us. Let's bring him aboard. Let's talk a little Canes. Manny, how you doing, my friend? You doing all right?
Doing great, man. Yourself?
Good, good, good. Let me ask you something, because we were just talking about this. Do you find it humorous when people try to convince themselves on how they can win against Alabama in the first week of the season? Because I really give Miami zero chance of winning that game unless the new quarterback's going to come in and turn over the ball 47 times. I just don't expect it to happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, Alabama's not the same team they were last year. They obviously lost a lot of offensive weapons. So you can certainly question and say, hey, they're not going to be able to score and put up the same number of points they did last year with the great system that they had. They have new offensive coordinator, whole new kind of quarterback, as you mentioned. Receivers have some question marks. But in the end, it's still Alabama. It's still one of the best defenses in the country. They've got one of the best secondaries in the country. And so to me, very rarely does Vegas make mistakes, and the fact that it's an 18-point spread tells you how most people who know the game really think of this matchup. And so, look, I think Miami can keep it close for a half, right? I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think this Miami team can score points. I think they're going to be better with Charleston Rambo and at receiver, having a more consistent deep threat. I think Mike Harley, you know, if he's the guy that we saw in the second half last year, I think those are two very good receivers. I think, you know, Will Mallory is going to be a good tight end. I like their running backs. I think the offensive line has a ton of experience, but this is still the defending national champions and still a program that recruits five stars left and right, get all the best players in the country every single year. And so those guys usually just step into those roles when guys leave, and they continue to keep the team at that level. So I think the fact that it's an opener helps Miami. Alabama's going to have to shake some of its initial rust off, as we said with Bryce Young. But yeah, I just think, you know, Alabama's a favorite for a reason, man.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So now the follow-up is, if they don't challenge for the ACC title, I don't expect them to win it, because they should, and Clemson is the better team. Should Manny be on the hot seat, considering he has 19 of 22 starters returning? He has an experienced team, North Carolina. I know they've got the better quarterback, but Sam Howell lost everything. He lost all his weapons. So they've got to also reload too. And are they at that point where they can reload? And I know that I saw where the Riders picked North Carolina to win. By the way, were you one of them that picked North Carolina to win?
I was. I picked Miami to finish second, and I had Virginia third in the ACC. Those were my top three for the Coastal.
So then in your eyes, he shouldn't be on the hot seat, because you don't think he should win the division or challenge for the ACC then?
I just think that from a talent standpoint, you know, I Kelvin Harris, one of my favorite guys, former Hurricane, who won three national championships. He and I argue all the time, dude, about the Canes, and he's a 58. These guys are 15-0. This is the most talented team. He thinks they're going to have like 12 to 14 NFL draft picks off this Hurricanes team. And I'm like, Kelvin, they could have 10 guys drafted off this Hurricanes team, but how many of them are going to be first rounders? How many of them are going to be second rounders, guys that are the best players at their position in college football? Look, go back and look at when Ohio State won the national championship, when Alabama wins the national championship, when LSU wins the national championship. They've got 5 and 6 first rounders, guys that are just the best at their position. Miami doesn't have that.
You mean like the 80s and 90s Canes? Is that what you're talking about?
right. But I'm just saying, even modern day, you know, you can have a lot of guys drafted, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're ready to win a championship yet. And I think when I look at this team, you know, there's good players. I think Bubba Bolden will probably be one of the best safeties in the country this year.
By the way, Al Golden had a shitload of guys drafted.
Right. He did too. And they won 7-8 games. So. Right. I just think, look, in the end, this team could win up to 10 games, in my opinion. I think they could go to a bowl game and win if a lot of these guys decide to play in the bowl game. Let's not forget that, right? How things shake out. You could end up with just 10 wins because you can't get enough guys to play in the bowl game that matter. Either way, I look at this as a team that you're asking them to win on the road at North Carolina against a Mack Brown coach team that just completely obliterated you. I know the personnel is different. They lost guys to the NFL, two receivers and two running backs. But they've got a good offensive line. They've got some good players at the skill position still at receiver, I think, that are good players. And I think playing that game at home gives them an advantage. I see that very, very even. You know, De'Aaron King, Sam Howell, it's kind of a wash, in my opinion, in terms of, you know, great players making great plays in the game at that position. It's going to come down to defense. And to me, Carolina has a better defense. They shut down Miami last year, held them to 24 points. Miami gave up 62 points to them. And, you know, I think they've got the better team right now, and playing at home gives them an advantage.
Jalar Haley, tell us, is it just he's not going to play much, so he's out of here? Is that the whole
deal? Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes down to playing time for a lot of these guys, and it's going to happen in college football. Oh, I mean, everybody's going to look at the roster situation, and, you know, they're just going to say, I'm going to move on to better things. And I think in Miami's case, you know, they're deep at the defensive tackle position. They've got some good players. They just picked up Leonard Taylor. We've talked about this dude quite a bit. He's a five-star guy. If you're a guy like Jalar Haley, who still isn't going to play this year because you've got Nestor Silvera and John Ford and two other guys in front of you, it's time to hit the road, Jack, right? It's time to go look elsewhere. And I think there might be a couple of other guys, you know, names that I've heard over the last week of guys that could be out of here for different reasons. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I kind of wait for those guys to announce it themselves, because even if I hear something, oh, it's always like, well, you never know. Maybe he changes his mind. Maybe the coaches talk him into staying. So I think when those guys are ready to announce they're leaving, we'll hear about it. But it's none of put it this way. It's none of the guys who are going to play a whole lot. And Jalar Haley, you know, what was he known for? Dancing on the sidelines. Sadly, that's kind of what his reputation was, right?
Being during
the
guy a loss. Who
was dancing on
during a loss.
Yeah, during a loss. So I just think, look, Manny Diaz wants to win a championship. He wants this program to improve, and he's still working on improving that roster.
All right. And Julian Armea and Malik Agbo, tell me a little bit more recruiting-wise about those guys.
Yeah, those are their two highest prospects at the offensive tackle position, the two guys that they really, really want. Agbo's a kid out of Washington, came across the states to visit Miami. I think he's got a good relationship with Jake Garcia, who potentially is going to be his starting quarterback if he picks Miami. And, you know, I think that's what they're trying to work. Armella's a kid. His father played at Florida State. He was at Miami Columbus last year, transferred back to St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, he's a national kid with the best offensive tackle in the state, most likely. And I just think, you know, he's got a lot of great programs after him, and we'll have to see where Miami fits into it and how much his mom wants him to stay home. I think if mom really urges him to stay home, then he'll stay here and play for the Hurricanes. But, you know, those are their two top guys on the offensive line. You know, they did pick up Justin Medlock, the linebacker that I told you about last Friday when I came on the show. He ended up committing right after we talked, maybe an hour afterward. So they've got six guys now in their class. I talked to Manny Diaz about the recruiting class, and I know Miami fans are freaking out. They've only got six commitments. They're ranked 61st, yada, yada, yada.
Too early, bro.
Again, I'm going to say this again. You know, Manny basically said, look, all the guys I really want aren't deciding till late, you know? So they're going to be deciding in December, announcing on TV, and, you know, all those kind of things. They're in play for big guys. And even if Miami doesn't get some of those dudes, Manny's not worried. He feels like the transfer portal is going to open up a lot of possibilities. And in a lot of ways, these coaches are looking at it like, look, I could take on a high school kid like Jalar Haley, spend 2 years developing, and he doesn't work out. Meanwhile, I can also look at the transfer portal, like Miami's successfully done here quite a bit, and land the guy at a position that I need. And so it's all about keeping a few scholarships for that transfer portal. And I think, you know, Miami feels comfortable with the last two recruiting classes. They've got, you know, the guys in the last two classes are good. They're top 15 type classes. And there's a lot of good players in them. And so that's the future. And Manny's just going to continue to recruit the guys he thinks he can get and the guys that can make a difference.
All right. So our boy Andrew Ivins called James Williams a unicorn of a prospect.
Yeah.
You agree? How good is this guy? How excited should we be? Because you know me, dude. I don't like getting excited about high schoolers until I see him actually on the field play. But is this kid – is this one of those
– generational type talents?
Yeah, like Taylor from
Sean Taylor.
Sean
yeah.
Taylor. Like once we got him from, what is it? Not Lourdes.
Gulliver Prep.
We got him from Gulliver, it was like, no, dude, forget that Gulliver crap. This guy's a monster, this and that. And he ended up becoming the monster that everybody said he is. And rest in peace, Sean Taylor. Is that what we're talking about? Is this the kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got that kind of talent. I mean, first of all, he's 6'5", 220 pounds already. God. I mean, how many high school kids come in, you know, from high school like that, you know, built like an Adonis?
He's built like a skinny defensive end is what he's built like right now.
Right, and I think that's where most of us who know the game say that's probably where he's better served, right? Moving to defensive end and being a Javon Kearse-like talent. That's what a lot of guys that I talk to in the business that do scouting and all kinds of work for different colleges, you know, they've told me in the past, this is a guy that in reality, if you took him and you turn him into a defensive end, he'd probably be the number one overall pick. But he wants to play safety. He thinks he can play safety at this level. I think ultimately Miami moves him to like linebacker, to striker, to one of those spots where he's in the box and he's able to rush the quarterback from up close and also, you know, do a good job as a run defender coming up and making tackles. You know, he's the comparison I've gotten most for him is Isaiah Simmons, the kid from Clemson from a couple years ago, who was defensive player of the year. And, you know, Simmons was a first round pick of the Cardinals. I think he was in the top 10 overall. James is that kind of a player. You know, Sean Taylor, to me, you talk about special talents. Those are guys that are just on another planet because those are generational talents. I think James Williams is definitely a first round pick. He definitely has that in his future, that kind of talent. But Sean Taylor, you know, we'll see. Will he have that kind of impact? Will he make those kind of plays in the game constantly that Sean Taylor made when he was playing? I don't know. But I think he's definitely a five-star prospect, definitely a guy you got to keep an eye on. And I think him and Leonard Taylor, those are the two guys on defense. And you talk about recruiting and improving the program, those two dudes take the program to another level.
So, Manny, when you go to Vegas, you go to gamble, right?
Yeah.
You go to gamble, right?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You know where I'm going. So you go to Vegas to gamble. UNLV, man, they love to roll the dice. They got Tate Martell, bro. Come on. That's going to come up snake eyes. Did they watch this guy, by the way? Because that's the other thing that we are complete idiots, okay? Because when he transfers from Ohio State, all the hype, none of us actually really took the time to watch his ass because that guy can't pass, bro. I don't know what the hell it is, but – he's got more lives than anyone I've ever seen, and he can't play the position. So I'm just wondering, what the hell is UNLV doing, man?
Well, before we get to UNLV, what the hell was Urban Meyer thinking, right, when he recruited him to Ohio State? What was Miami thinking? What film were they studying? Again, I think the Tate Martell story is more an indictment of how lazy people are when it comes to scouting and really doing their homework on players. In college football versus, you know, what it used to be when Jimmy Johnson and his staff would go out and really talk to guys, break things down. I think there's a lot of corners being cut nowadays, which is why you see so many quote unquote busts. You know, some recruit Knicks out in the Vegas area, you know, especially the fact that Tate had his own little TV show, right? He was on that Netflix special. Yeah. They all fell in love. They all fell in love with the gimmick. And the reality is the first day he was out at practice throwing the football, you know, me and a couple of the other beat reporters were looking around like, this is the dude? Like, this is the guy everybody's going crazy over? Look, I think he's fine in, like, a Wildcat offense. Like, you could have him run the football.
Well, that's why Urban, in a way, he does love his running quarterback, so I can almost see that. But in this team, it's always been about passing. And, bro, that guy can't pass.
The only offense he was effective in, and it was for one drive that I saw him, was in a spring game when he first got here up in Orlando when Miami had their spring game up there that year. And he came out, and it was, mind you, this was the scout team defense. But he came out in the shotgun and just threw the ball really quickly, you know, took the snap, made quick decisions, got the ball. He was effective in that. But that it's like a gimmick. It was like one drive. It was one moment where you're like, okay, I can see a little bit of his talent, but overall – you put that guy against a first-team defense, somebody who's throwing, you know, complicated coverage schemes at them, moving guys around at the line of scrimmage. He didn't know what to do with the football. And so I think just a lot of people missed. And now, you know, he ends up at UNLV where I exactly thought he would be all along. That would be the place. Go back home and try to get on the field. I hope for his sake, you know, Tate gets an opportunity. Look, he went through a lot of off-the-field issues here at Miami. He had a girlfriend that he was a model, one of these, you know, Instagram chicks that he was going out with that was driving him insane. He was in love with her and you know, wasn't even around the team a couple times when Miami expected him to be there. So it was, you know, it was all kind of issues behind the scenes. Now he's back home. Hopefully his parents can help him out, straighten him out, and hopefully Tate can make something of himself, man, and get a college degree.
Or if not, you know. hit the lottery or go become a blackjack dealer or something, bro. You know, it's
right.
Oof, I saw that story and I was like, really? Did you guys watch him play at all or something? Because I don't know if
well,
I.
Well, he's a hero back home because he won 3 state championships with his high school team, and so he's beloved back home for all those reasons. But people forget he played with Brevin Jordan and Bubba Bolden and a bunch of other guys who were good players that are NFL type talents that made him look good. And you know, again, my biggest thing, and I was talking about this with some of the college football writers at The Athletic. How did so many people miss? Like, where was the evaluations? Yeah. Who was really doing their homework here? And why did so many schools think that this guy was good? Maybe there's just, you know, maybe they saw something there that the rest of us didn't. But I can tell you, the first time I saw him throw a football and I saw it wobbling and I saw him struggling to just get the ball off, I'm thinking to myself, dude, this guy is nothing compared to what everybody's built him up to be.
Yeah, it reminds me of Josh Heupel. It reminds me of, I mean, I'm out at Dolphins camp and we're looking around going, this is their draft pick? And then they had they actually ended up with a bunch of injuries. Heupel was the only arm they had left in camp, and Spielman comes out of the GM office, puts on some shorts, and starts throwing the ball around. And Spielman had a better arm than Heupel, and we were like, "Wait a minute, dude! How does the guy that drafted him have a better arm than the damn quarterback?" And it's like, "What the F, bro?" You know,
yep.
So I'm glad he turned out to be a heck of a coach because holy crap, that was another guy that was like, did you scout this guy? You know, whatever. But it's just, I get you were in Oklahoma, right? You're Heupel, you're at Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's loaded with talent. It's what you're talking about. And so that's probably what it is. He had so much talent around him, it kind of hid his deficiencies when it's all said and done. But when he got to the Dolphins, I was like, this guy has no arm, bro. How can he be an NFL quarterback? And sure enough, obviously he didn't make it in the NFL. All right, so what are you working on for The Athletic so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, I just put out a story last week when I was in Charlotte. I kind of did the rounds, you know, with all the different teams in the conference, including Clemson, to get their opinions on, you know, what they really think of the Hurricanes. You know, we down here kind of live in a vacuum, right? We see this team every single day. We report on it every single day. What do these guys who play against them honestly think? And so, obviously, as we started off this conversation, you know, they got picked to finish second. I picked them to finish second. But even the Clemson players are kind of like, yeah, look, we played them last year. They're okay. They're talented. But North Carolina is a team we're expecting to see in Charlotte. So that's kind of an honest take from some of their players. I talked to some players from Pittsburgh, NC State, and Louisville, who all played Miami last year. NC State, of course, plays them again. So does Pittsburgh because they're in the same division. But I got their opinions on who they think is good for Miami. A lot of love for Nesta Silvera, I'll tell you that. They think he's you know, a talent, a guy to be reckoned with, a couple of the offensive linemen I talked to. And Bubba Bolden is viewed as the best guy that they've got in the secondary. Things that we know, but it's just interesting to hear what the guys who play against them thought, you know. And I'll tell you, one impression I came away with was De'Aaron King, in the eyes of the rest of the conference, is really what's keeping Miami in that hunt to be the number two team in the Coastal Division. I don't know if there's a ton of respect for a lot of the other guys on Miami's offense. It's like, look, he's the guy that everybody's afraid of. He's the guy that makes it all work.
It's true.
So it's not just us as a fan base thinking, hey, Miami's very blessed to have De'Aaron King. The guys who play against them do too. But they also credited Rhett Lashley and the up-tempo style that Miami plays and that they adopted with the spread offense. Louisville talked about how that was really the Achilles heel for them in that game. They blew coverages. They just weren't ready at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, the things you and I talk about all the time, and I talk about with other people who follow the Hurricanes, is what really makes them good? What should you be worried about them losing? I think right now, Rhett Lashley and De'Aaron King, right? Manny Diaz is going to have to potentially find replacements for those two things.
And not only that, the O-line. He's got a ton of experience on that O-line. He'll lose a bunch of those guys too, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. Even with all that experience, a lot of the guys that I talked to on defense didn't think much of Miami's offensive line. They're kind of like, yeah, they're okay, but North Carolina's better. So it's just kind of interesting little story. You can check that one out there. I'm also going to have an essay about what I'm most excited about coming back with college football. And to be honest, they asked me, why don't you write about the turnover chain? Why don't you write about the smoke? I'm like, look, I know that's the cliched Miami thing, right? Like, to me, what I'm most excited about is just seeing the people that I didn't get to see last year when you go to a game, right? The familiar fans, the security guards, the people in the concession, just the people that make up our little community down here. That's what's most important to me. And I actually talked to a couple of players about it as well. De'Aaron King talked about his bus driver at Miami, how close he is with that guy. Lou Headley, the punter, was like, I can't wait to just see people in that little Canes walk. You know, the players actually enjoy it. They like going and seeing their family members and friends and people who support them all the time before kickoff. So I'll have an essay on that. And there's plenty more. I've done a ton of one-on-one interviews with players. Thank God for NIL, by the way. These agents calling me and inviting me to these autograph signings. I've had an opportunity to talk to so many guys one-on-one that I would have never had the opportunity to do. So I'm going to have some good stories here in the weeks ahead leading up to the season.
Well, you always have good stories. And the other thing is the offensive line. For me, that's the group that could really leave an imprint on this season, on the conference and everybody else. Like you said, hey, we weren't that impressed. But with all the experience they have on that line, if they could go out there and dominate, it would make life so much easier for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And it would really lift that offense to the next level if they go out there and kind of really establish themselves. It would be really nice if that could happen.
Yeah, there's no question. No, I think, you know, they were such a one-dimensional team last year. They were bad at running the football. They just were. They couldn't consistently run the football against even average teams in the ACC. And you know, I think that's been what Rhett Lasky's been talking about. He wants a workhorse. He wants one guy to really, really emerge. I'll tell you, I got a chance to talk to John Chaney. He's the guy that everybody was telling me was sort of emerging as that number one guy in this offense before he hurt his shoulder, tore his labrum. Look, he had surgery. He detailed to me everything that he kind of went through. So I'm going to have that in a story coming up as well for The Athletic. But, you know, he thinks he's going to be ready to go, you know, for the opener against Alabama. But he still has a ways to go in terms of getting his shoulder back to where it needs to be. So we'll see. That'll be something to monitor. But you're right. Running the football is the most important thing for this offense. They have to take the pressure off De'Aaron King because, you know, they go back and look at it. Virginia Tech, NC State, even the Louisville game. I mean, they had to score a ton of points to beat those teams or have late comebacks led by De'Aaron that he had to make great throws. Be nice to run the football and not have to depend on that to beat these teams. Otherwise, Miami, you know, they don't. If it wasn't for De'Aaron, this would have probably been a 5-6 win team last year.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's scary, man. That's how good King is. All right, Manny, make sure you follow him on Twitter, folks. Manny_Navarro catches work there at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe. It's a joke, the fee for a year, and you get a coverage from sea to shining sea, baby, and plus you get some international soccer in there too. So if you want to keep up with everything, make sure you sign up for The Athletic. Manny, as always, you are a stud, my brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
You got it. That's our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where Inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.